Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us. We're live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville, and whether you're listening to the radio program live or you're with us on podcast, we are glad to have you as we talk IU basketball and, of course, IU football, gearing up for game week and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective as well. Let's get right to the show lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll get to some college football stuff, a couple Big Ten basketball notes as well, and some high school football notes in our headline segment today. Also, segment two today, we'll be joined by Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. Matt is the football writer for the Pigs site. He is the go-to guy for IU football, and so he'll help us take a preview of this IU-Penn State game, which we've been talking about now, it seems like, for weeks since we actually had a third version of the schedule, I guess you could say, and the Big Ten was set to actually have some full-time football. And yesterday I saw Penn State's coach have some really positive comments about Indiana and the challenge that they pose, that he believes they will pose to his team who will travel to Bloomington for a road game this weekend. We'll talk about all of that and more with Matt when he joins us a little bit later in the program today. Also, jumping back for just a moment in the headlines, some unfortunate news as far as a couple high school football teams we'll tell you about that won't be able to play in this week's state tournament that begins for most classes and most teams on Friday night. So Matt Weaver, segment two. Segment three, later in the program today, we'll be joined by Josh Cook, the sports editor of the News and Tribune. With Josh, we'll talk high school football, kind of recap things, where we're at, leaving the regular season behind, and now headed toward the postseason in high school football. And of course, all of our teams locally get underway Friday night with the sectional round of action, except for Class 5A. They begin 1 week from Friday night after a bye coming up this week. So we'll do that and more today in the show. That's the lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take it to go, and curbside service, it's still available if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And don't forget, we love to get your questions and your comments. You can email me, HoosierReport@gmail.com, the easy way to email the show. Again, HoosierReport@gmail.com. And you can also tweet me, @HoosierHills, all one word, @HoosierHills on Twitter. And perhaps your question or comment will get used on the show today. Let's take a look at our headlines. First up, this is interesting. Health officials in Pennsylvania concerned with Penn State football traveling to Indiana because Indiana is on the quarantine list. There's a mandatory quarantine. Of course, it's a self-reporting type of thing that you're supposed to quarantine when you return from Indiana, according to Pennsylvania's rules. And I know that the Illinois governor had been talking about, and I think actually added Indiana to the list, where if you travel to Indiana and you come back into the state of Illinois, you have to quarantine for a period of days to make sure that you aren't bringing the virus back in the state, because Indiana and other Midwestern states as well, numbers are going up. That's been very obvious here the last week or two, including Indiana and Kentucky, especially some skyrocketing numbers as far as cases and positivity rates and other numbers associated with the virus, hospitalizations, ventilator usage, deaths, and things of that nature. So interesting to see that. Pennsylvania has Indiana on the quarantine list. So you've got a team that's going to come to Bloomington for a game on Saturday, and you would think right after the game would go right back to Penn State, right back to their state, right back to college. And will they quarantine? Will they be allowed to go to – I know there's not a lot of in-person classes right now, but will they be able to do the normal things together as a team that they do? This is just some of the challenges of a team that's trying to make a normal trip during a pandemic that has regulations from their state and their health department that they you know, may have to follow. So interesting to follow stuff like this as the season for the Big Ten finally gets underway. I think there are so many things that we think about, we know about, that are going to be issues, that could be issues when you play college sports or any level sports in a pandemic. But there are things like the travel stuff. You know, I mean, you're expected to do that. Is a football team going to be better than you and I if we travel somewhere? And also, you know, if you and I travel somewhere, are we really going to quarantine for so many days if we're supposed to before we go back out into the public? There's no one that really necessarily knows exactly what you did. It's kind of an honor system thing. So interesting just to follow some of these secondary type storylines, but that's one of the things I would have never thought about. If a state has specific rules about traveling to a certain part of the country or a certain state, you know, will a team that's traveling together back from a game, you know, will they have to enforce that with them? So interesting to see there. Also, our next headline today, you should see the list of guidance and recommendations that the NCAA has put out for basketball for the upcoming season. If you want to see how different college hoops is going to look, you might see a number of things that you kind of remember from the NBA bubble in Orlando, but they've put out guidance and recommendations for game day operations for the sport of basketball, and it is very lengthy, very detailed, and again, benches and locker rooms and the layouts of different things, media, essential personnel, score clock, scoreboard, announcer, all the things that make a game operate that we really don't think about too much or don't pay much attention to when you're at a game or on television. There's going to be real specific layouts and real specific guidelines that have to be followed this season. It just kind of shows you the detail that the NCAA is going to try to prep its member schools and its upcoming games set to begin November 25th for what playing in a pandemic looked like. So again, crazy look, crazy things ahead, but you know what? If we can play pretty safe during a pandemic and things look different or the benches are spaced different or locker rooms are laid out different or there's a whole pages and pages of guidance and requirements, I think we'll all deal with it. And I think the coaches and players will be okay dealing with it, even if it's a bit of a pain at times, because it means we're able to play basketball during this time. Also, one other Big Ten note of interest, Ohio State had an incoming transfer named Jimmy Sotos, who had his waiver denied yesterday. He transferred to Ohio State from Bucknell and was applying for a waiver so he could hopefully be able to play right away this upcoming season. But so far, as of yesterday, that waiver denied. We'll see if he files an appeal. And I really don't know with what Ohio State has back how he would stack into the potential lineup and playing time, but it is interesting to see a guy coming into the Big Ten and whether he will be able to play this season for Ohio State or not. A couple high school football things. We'll start with the positive stuff first, but the final Associated Press poll of the season, Floyd Central still at number 7 in Class 5A, so the Highlanders will finish in the top 10 at number 7, as will Silver Creek. They are tied for number 9 in Class 4A. And again, that's that 4A sectional that Silver Creek plays in. You've got, I think, the number 3 team, the number 4 or 5 team in East Central. The number 3 team is Mooresville, number 4 or 5 East Central. And then Silver Creek tied for 9th. You've got three legitimate top 10 teams, all in not just the same sectional, but the same bottom half of the bracket. Mooresville will take on the winner of the East Central Silver Creek game, assuming Mooresville wins their game on Friday night, and I think they're a big favorite in that contest. Other high school football matchups for us locally, keep in mind that New Albany, Jeff, and Floyd Central are idle this week because the 5A four-team sectional does not get underway until next week. But in addition to Silver Creek hosting East Central in the 4A sectional 23, Charlestown will play host to Greensburg in 3A sectional 31. Providence will travel to Union County on Friday in 2A sectional 39. that very same sectional, bottom half of the bracket. Clarksville will host Paoli on Friday night in Class 1A Sectional 48. Rock Creek will travel to North Central Farmersburg, and I believe, I haven't looked as of last week, but North Central Farmersburg and Rock Creek, somebody in that opening sectional game is going to get their first win of the season, as both of those teams have not won to date. Sad high school football note. Unfortunately, I think that we are going to see more of these, unfortunately, but I saw a newspaper in the Fort Wayne area report yesterday that Southwood will have to forfeit Friday's sectional opener due to the coronavirus. I don't know if they've had positives. I don't know if it's because of tracing, but I believe Southwood in Class 1A was ranked in the top five. They've had a terrific season, but they will not be even able to get the opportunity to start the postseason because of the virus, which is very sad. And also from up in the region, East Chicago Central as well, having some issues, and it doesn't look like they are going to be able to play in the sectional on Friday night. So that's just a couple cases that we are aware of so far. Who knows if there are others? And it would not surprise me if there are more. It wouldn't surprise me, if something popped up in our area. You just don't know where this virus is going to strike. And we're talking about high school kids who have so much exposure to the different people that they're around. I think as of volleyball, we talked last Friday with Kyle Nedrip about this, but maybe 11 teams had to pull out of the tournament, either didn't start the tournament or had to pull out of the sectional round because of positive cases or because of contact tracing. And it's just sad. You know, at least you get a season, a regular season, you get to this point, but the tournament's when a new season happens, and there's a lot of excitement, especially for a football team up in the Fort Wayne area like Southwood. You've had a great regular season. Your team's ranked. You've been looking forward to the postseason probably all year long, thinking you got a chance maybe to win your sectional, and then it's stripped from you because of some positives or because of contact tracing. So those are the sad moments about playing high school sports in a pandemic. And just think about what we've talked about in our headlines today, what college hoops is going to look like in a pandemic, college football, Penn State, the health officials worried about them traveling to Indiana with its numbers up, and then, of course, the high school stuff. Every headline we touch in sports, most of them somehow are connected to the virus, which just tells you that this thing is, whether we realize it all the time or not, affecting so much in sports as well as many other areas of our lives. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Stay with us. We'll talk with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com coming up in the next segment. IU football will be the topic as they get ready to host Penn State on Saturday. Also, still ahead, we'll talk with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll recap the regular season. We'll look at some of the big sectional games this weekend and more surrounding high school football with Josh when he joins us later in the hour. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
IU football, the Big Ten, they begin play this weekend on Saturday for the Hoosiers as they host Penn State. Feels like this game has been on the schedule forever since version 3 of the Big Ten schedule release. We knew who Indiana would open with, and I think everybody just glad the season is getting back underway, or is actually getting underway this fall in a normal football time. And a big challenge to open up this weekend for the Hoosiers. Before we talk about the specifics of the game with Matt Weaver, who's going to tell us more about this Penn State team and some of the keys to the matchup from the Indiana side of things, building on what, Matt, we talked about in the last segment, I mentioned that Pennsylvania health officials have concern with the Penn State team coming to Indiana, which has had trending upwards numbers with coronavirus cases recently. There also was a letter, I'm not sure if you saw this or not, from mayors of cities that have Big Ten schools located within their city. I think 11 cities from the Big Ten, 11 different mayors signed this letter, but it basically asked for some additional precautions with Big Ten football this year. One is to make decisions based on community positivity rate, not just that of the teams within the Big Ten Conference. The second is work with local and county health officials to agree on a positivity rate that could make a city unsafe to hold a game. The third thing they requested in this letter, release game times and schedules as early as possible. And the fourth thing, avoid evening and night games as much as possible. I assume that's because of the social interactions and the bar scenes and things like that that a big football game can bring forward. Matt, just crazy as we get ready for the season, finally, we want to talk about things on the field with these teams to see mayors band together for asking for special regulations and maybe some additional requirements, and to see health officials tell one of their own state universities that, you know, really when you get back from Indiana, you need to quarantine if you're going to follow our state guidelines. These examples I mentioned kind of underscore the wild time that we're in right now trying to play sports.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I had not seen that story, but I guess I can understand where they're coming from, because, you know, if you send a group of however many guys travel, 70 or so players to another state, and, you know, it just takes one or two of them to possibly get it. You bring it back, and all of a sudden you got a real crisis on your hands back in your own area. So I understand where they're coming from. You know, I think this is one where the daily testing for the Big Ten is a really big deal, because of, you know, you're testing every day. Now, obviously, we've seen, you know, I don't know how the testing is different between the Big Ten and the SEC, but you saw last week the big story with Nick Saban, who tested positive and then subsequently had three or four negative tests. So there are some false positives. You know, I'm not a science person, so I don't understand how that happens, but I guess it does. But I can see where they're coming from. I understand the precautions and the concern, and, you know, try to do everything possible to you know, minimize the risk, not just for the players, but for everybody. Because once they come back to their community, then obviously, you know, people in that community are at risk as well.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, our guest. I'm curious, Matt, when Coach Allen was available to the media for a Zoom call earlier this week, did anybody mention, or did it come up, any questions or any of his comments talking about the uptick in cases in Indiana, and if he's concerned that ultimately could be a problem for football season moving forward?
No, nobody asked him that, but I think, and I could be wrong on this, but I know that when the Big Ten decided to come back this last time, you know, one of the kind of policies or you know, stipulations, I think you couldn't have a certain percentage on your team who was infected. But I also think it was like there was a stipulation for the state that you are in. If you got above a certain percentage of the population, and obviously, as you mentioned, Indiana, for the last couple of weeks, it's been almost every, I don't say almost every day, but there's been several days where they've hit a new record high. Now, why that is, I don't know. I mean, you know, are they doing more tests? I'm assuming they are, but there's obviously other factors going in. I mean, are people being more relaxed? They relaxed the regulations in the state, so is that part of it? You know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, if it gets too out of control, then obviously it could be a factor for Indiana and Purdue, and obviously Notre Dame's not the Big Ten, but for Indiana and Purdue, it could be an issue if the state's numbers continue to keep spiking up.
Talking with Matt Weaver, IU football, the topic. Let's talk about the game and maybe have some normalcy to this conversation. Penn State, obviously ranked in the top 10 of the AP poll. We know they had a big-time player that did opt to sit out the season and continued to withhold from the season even when the season was reinstated for the fall time. But this week we learned that another key player is likely out this weekend and perhaps for the whole season because of an injury that was obtained during the offseason. Been some tough news as far as from Penn State to get this season started here recently.
Yeah, you're referring to Journey Brown, the running back, who's just really good. I mean, he's an NFL-caliber guy. And I believe, I'm not sure if it's an injury, I think it might be a medical condition, which, you know, hopefully, you know, take this game out of it. Hopefully the young man's okay, and you know, hopefully he can play football again. But more important than that, just hopefully his health's okay going forward, because that's the most important thing. But he's a terrific player. I mean, in their last game last year against Memphis in the bowl game, he just went crazy. I think he had like 200 yards rushing. He's got power, speed, explosiveness, everything you're looking for in a running back. So it's a loss for them, but Penn State's recruited really well. They'll have talented guys there. I don't know if it'll be one guy who replaces them. It might be more of a committee approach. You know, we'll have to see how that pans out. But You know, it's going to be tough to replace a guy like that. He's one of the top backs in the Big Ten and one of the better backs in the country. So it's a blow for them. But like I said, you know, Penn State's a program, and they've recruited at a level here recently under Coach Franklin where they're going to have a lot of talent at every position. So, you know, even if they lose a guy like that, it's not like they're going to be replacing with a guy who can't play.
Matt, Michael Penix, obviously a key for Indiana. We know he's the starting quarterback and saw glimpses of what we think he can bring to this program last season. How important, win or lose this weekend for Indiana, is it to see him click on all cylinders and get off to a good start this season?
Well, I think it's important. I mean, you know, this is such an unusual season, obviously, we've talked about so many times. And, you know, that's not because of, you know, the stops and starts and the limited practice time. Obviously, spring football was basically wiped out. You know, even in the summer workouts and everything, it's been so much different. You know, so there's probably going to be some hiccups, some, you know, some rust, you know, some uneven play. I think we see that across the country when football first came back and in other conferences. But, you know, you obviously would like to see a lot of good play and something to build on for the rest of the year. You're not going to be, you know, nobody should be playing their best football in game one. But you want to have some kind of a baseline foundation to build off of so that later in the year, you know, you are playing your best football when you've got some games under your belt. So I think he'll come out. I'm sure there'll be some mistakes. Like I said, I'm sure he'll have some off throws. But I think he'll be pretty sharp. I mean, Michael's a very laid back, and some people take that the wrong way, like you're not competitive. He's competitive, but he's just a very cool customer. I mean, he's one of these guys that things don't bother him. He just goes with the flow. He keeps playing, whether he throws a great touchdown or he makes a bad interception. And I think that's obviously an important quality in a quarterback because you're going to have your ups and downs. And so I think he'll be fine, you know, as long as they give him protection and you know, he has time to throw. I think he's going to find some receivers and they're going to make some plays.
Talking with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, Coach Franklin from Penn State said earlier in a Zoom conference call of his own that he thinks this is the best, and I'm reading from his quote here, I think this is the best Indiana football team that they've had in my 6 years in the conference. They've done a really good job of building it. They've got a bunch of guys back that have played and played at a high level. Those are some pretty big words from the Penn State coach heading into this game. He clearly thinks this is maybe the best Indiana team that Coach Allen has had and that the program has had in many years.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of times people are like, well, it's coach speak. You know, we hear coaches talk about their opponent, no matter if they've lost 40 in a row or 140 in a row, how tough they are. But I think he's right. And I think a lot of coaches across the Big Ten would probably echo those sentiments that this is the best team Indiana's had in a while. It's the most complete team. You know, when Kevin Wilson was here, you might have had, you know, as good as Stevie Scott is, there's no Tevin Coleman. There's probably not a Cody Latimer. But across the board, depth and talent is as good as it's been in a long, long time in Indiana. And that's really how you win. Those guys are great. Don't get me wrong. It'd be nice to have a guy like that at receiver and running back. But you got to have more than that. And I think what has me encouraged is that in the lines, because I always say it, when it comes down to a football is won and lost on the offensive and defensive line. Whoever wins the trenches is most likely going to win the game. And Indiana has greatly improved both their O-line and D-line. It's, you know, you still got improvements to be made, and we'll find out how much they've improved this year. But they have guys up front, you know, the hosses, so to speak, to compete with most of the teams in the Big Ten.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Matt, as the Big Ten season, in addition to IU's game with Penn State, gets started this weekend, Friday night, to the first game, what are some things across the conference, Indiana, maybe not Indiana, that you'll be looking as far as to see how things start off early in this season?
Well, I think what I was looking for when I watched other conferences and as a college football fan, just, you know, what's the level of play, you know, who has adapted the best to this just, you know, very unusual and unorthodox offseason, you know, who's more prepared, you know, and I think some of the things that will play into that are who's got more experienced teams coming back. I think if you have a younger team, this could be a more difficult start to the season just because, you know, those guys are young. They're not this, you know, it's just, they don't have that experience. Older guys can kind of adjust. And you know, they've seen everything. Now, nobody's seen this before, obviously, but still they've seen a lot of things. So, you know, who looks good. I mean, obviously to see how certain teams come out, you know, Purdue will be interesting without Jeff Brohm on the sideline. I mean, obviously his brother's taken over, but you know, he's a very good head coach, and you know, how do they look, you know, without him, you know, leading their team on Saturday. And then, you know, how does Ohio State look? You know, if they're as good as I think they are, then, you know, I think they're gonna run roughshod over Nebraska this week. And nothing against Nebraska, but I think Ohio State's the class of the field and one of the best in the country. So, you know, I'll be looking at that. And then I'll look at the teams Indiana's going to be playing. How do they look? I mean, game one doesn't always tell you everything because it's game one, but just kind of, you know, how does Michigan look? They got a new quarterback, you know, stuff like that. So how is Rutgers improved? Things like that. You know, that's the things I'll be looking for.
Ohio State, you just gave them some big words as well. I've read and heard lots of great things about what they could be this year. Do you expect them as a preseason still in the Big Ten to maybe be a college football playoff team in the Final Four when we get there later this year?
Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, they're if you look at their schedule, it's set up well for them. You know, I didn't want to say it's an easy schedule because it's not an easy schedule, but it played out that way it was set up. I think it makes it it's a very manageable schedule. And you know, even if it was a difficult schedule, they're just so talented. I mean, I think Justin Fields is arguably the best, you know, player in college football right up there with Trevor Lawrence. You know, if he stays healthy, he'll be one of the top contenders for the Heisman Trophy. They got their offensive line to me is what really makes them go. As good as their skill players are, but their offensive line, they've got like two or three NFL guys on there, if not more. They've got NFL guys that out at receiver, at tight end. You know, defensively, they got to replace some guys. Chase Young's a big loss, but they've recruited well. They'll have some young, talented guys, but it'll probably take them a little bit of time to, you know, to kind of get in the flow of things. But offensively, they'll be good enough that even if their defense is a little bit behind, their offense can carry them for a few weeks until their defense, you know, starts to get their feet under them. But you know, I'll be shocked if they aren't one of the two or three best teams in the country come the end of the season and playing for the national title.
Talking with Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Matt, before we let you go, I want to talk high school football for a moment. I know all your attention now is on IU and covering the team for the Pigs.com site. And, of course, recruiting and things of that nature somewhat take a back seat during the season, especially this season when so many recruiting regulations are in place because of the coronavirus. But football playoffs, postseason, as it's called in Indiana, begins on Friday night. And obviously there's some prospects to watch. And Donovan McCauley at Lawrence North, I finally got an opportunity to watch some video of him from a recent game. He's quite the real deal. But maybe storylines for IU football fans to follow as postseason begins in Indiana with either recruits or potential targets for this IU football program.
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, obviously Donovan would be one. Josh Sales at Brownsburg, they got a really good team. They should be a factor in the playoffs. You know, they're recruiting guys at Center Grove. Center Grove is you know, to me, the best team in the state. They went undefeated. Their defense is just phenomenal. They got Taven Jackson, a quarterback who, you know, everybody knows Trace Jackson Davis, his younger brother, and has an IU offer and looks like he's got a chance to be pretty special. He's only a junior. So, you know, those are some of the storylines. But, you know, the IU recruits and how they do in the playoffs, is I'm sure what IU fans will be following. And Donovan's had a terrific season. And Lawrence North's a school that's really struggled in football for a long time. But, you know, Patrick Mallory, who's a former IU player, has done a good job rebuilding that program. And obviously it helps to have a guy like Donovan and Omar Cooper, the junior receiver, who has an IU offer that would love the IU staff would love to get. Talent like that really makes your job easier. But, you know, that's what I'll be watching, how those guys do, how far they can go. I mean, I think it's going to be tough to beat Center Grove because they're just so good. They can run the ball. Their defense is phenomenal. And they got a very talented guy at quarterback who can make plays. So, you know, it should be a fun postseason. Everybody's kind of chasing the Center Grove, but we'll see what happens. That's why you play the games.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Great to talk IU football with you, Matt. And finally, great to talk IU football in a game week situation where we can actually preview a game that's getting ready to happen. So enjoy the game. I know that media is limited, obviously, for Saturday's game. I assume, will you be at Memorial Stadium for the game? Were you able to get in?
Actually, this week, Jeff is going to handle the game for us. I had a bit of a conflict with a family deal. So
sure.
I'll be watching the game, but I just wasn't able to get down there in time for the start of the game. So Jeff will be in the press box. We only get one credential. It's like 25% capacity. So Rabbi will be up there for us, and me and Mike will be working from home, and I'll be going to some games later in the year.
Absolutely. Good job. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Matt, thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care, guys.
Glad to talk IU football, and it finally be the week where Indiana in the Big Ten is going to play. It's going to be a lot different, a lot better, I think, on Saturday with college football because the Big Ten will be involved. And also, don't forget Big Ten football game on Friday, Wisconsin and Illinois, maybe. I know it's Wisconsin. I think their opponent's Illinois, but that will be fun to get the season started on Friday as well. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with the final segment in this Wednesday program. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, will join. We'll talk high school football, talk some other fall sports as they move through their state tournaments as well. And we can't forget about Trey Kaufman. He made the decision or the announcement yesterday that he's going to make his college decision on October 30th. And so we'll talk more about that as well. Lots of people nervous, especially IU fans, and I'm assuming a lot of listeners of this program. Will Trey choose the Hoosiers? That's the big question. We'll talk about that and more next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back to talk some high school football and more with Josh Cook. He's sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment each week is presented by Major League Shirt Company. And, Josh, we have plenty to talk about today. Trey Kaufman has his decision date set for October 30th. We're getting ready for the opening round of high school football postseason here in Indiana on Friday night. And many other fall sports are either in the middle or nearing the end of their respective state tournaments. So from a local perspective, things are humming right along. And I want to start with the Trey Kaufman announcement yesterday that he's going to pick his college on October 30th. Your reaction to that? We spent a lot of time on yesterday's program breaking down his choices and talking with our guest about maybe where Trey will go. But right here locally, Josh, you followed it as close as anyone. What are your thoughts as he begins to narrow things down and make the decision public coming up here in just a few days?
Yeah, I wasn't too surprised that he's going to do it before the season. That just kind of gets it out of the way, and you know, lets him and the rest of the team really just kind of focus on the season. But it's, you know, I think it's a good decision too to get it out of the way early. So, you know, we'll find out in 9 days, which, you know, is not very long at all, where he's going to go. But, you know, obviously you got to think that it bodes well for Indiana and Purdue if it's earlier than rather than later. But, you know, that's just one way of thinking. You know, Virginia, you know, could jump in the mix there. I don't know exactly. I guess nobody does at this point, only Trey.
You know, that's something I mentioned yesterday on the show, and even since then I've talked with a lot of friends in the media that cover Indiana that follow recruiting in our state, and they've either texted me or I've called them just, hey, you know, what are you hearing, what's going on? And no one really seems to know. I think the general consensus is that a decision early in the fall before perhaps recruiting opens back up later in the year after January 1st is when it's kind of dead until because of the pandemic. But the thought right now is that from some people that it does maybe bode well for Indiana that he is going to make a decision before the season and here in the fall. But nobody really knows for sure. And so many times with these big decisions, these five-star players, nationally ranked guys, really, the word leaks out, and there's all sorts of thoughts about where they might go. Much like Romeo Langford, there was maybe some thought Indiana could get him based on the way, especially he was doing his announcement at New Albany High School. At that time, you could have fans packed in the gym there. It's going to be a little different depending on how Trey announces his decision. But both of these recruitments locally, Romeo and now Trey, they've been pretty well under wraps, which you don't always see.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's awesome. You know, that's great for them. You know, keep it to yourself. You know, quite honestly, you know, it's a big decision. You know, it's a huge decision. So that's why
personally, I mean, I hate to bother these kids with, like, you know, where are you going to go? You know, what are you thinking? Just, you know, it's a huge decision. It's one that can affect the rest of their lives. So, you know, it's one that's best made by them and, you know, their families. So, let them have their space, let them do it, and, you know, make the announcement whenever the time feels right. So, you know, more power to those guys for doing it and, you know, keeping it in-house, keeping it under wraps. That's great.
Talking with News and Tribune sports editor Josh Cook, this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. Josh, let's talk some high school football. The big game this week is Silver Creek hosting East Central. You and I have talked multiple times about why this is such a big game and how tough this 4A sectional will be for Silver Creek. But the Dragons leading the way, really, here in the area with an undefeated regular season and, of course, a Mid-Southern Conference championship to boot. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the Dragons do against this very tough and talented and just traditionally strong East Central program.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to be it could be very interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I think I joked that, you know, the best chance may be if East Central's bus breaks down, but, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think it's just going to be it's a great opportunity for Silver Creek. You know, East Central just lost its last game last week to Ron Colley, so, you know, you can kind of see that maybe they're not they might be vulnerable. They may not be this huge powerhouse that you've thought of in the past. And, you know, maybe this is the year for Silver Creek to knock them off. We'll see.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, presented by Major League Shirt Company. Other thoughts on sectional this opening week? Obviously, it's going to be a little lighter week than normal because New Albany, Jeff, and Floyd Central in 5A will have an idle week, a bye week, as they get ready to begin postseason play 1 week from Friday night. But other things you'll be watching on Friday: can Charlestown get an opening win at home against Greensburg? Clarksville had some great moments earlier in the year. Can they put it back together and win at home against Paoli? Providence has got a fairly even matchup. They have to travel some distance to play at Union County. And there are other storylines to watch as well. But what are you expecting on this opening week of sectional play here for our locals?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in two of those games that you mentioned. Definitely the Providence-Union County game. You know, Providence has been, you know, they seem like they've turned the corner. Obviously, they played a really tough schedule to start the season with the bigger schools in the area, but they've played some of their like-sized schools. They've had some success here late in the year, so, you know, they seem to be coming on at the right time, and we'll see if they can, you know, just take that 2.5-hour bus trip, whatever it is, to Union County, and, you know, come out with a victory. I think they have a very good chance. And then if they win that game, the bracket sets up pretty good for them to in the semifinals. And then you mentioned Charlestown, you know, had some struggles late in the year, but had a big victory last week over Eastern. We'll see if that can kind of give them some momentum going into this game against Greensburg. You know, if they can be as balanced offensively, I guess, as they were against Eastern, you know, that's a good thing. Had some huge two quarterbacks each threw for three touchdowns. That was super impressive. And then, you know, they ran the ball pretty effectively. So that's the kind of balance they'll be looking for. And if they can do that against Greensburg, you know, I think they'll have success.
Josh, we talked a lot heading into the season, even back when we were unsure if there would be a high school fall sports and football season, about who we thought some of the better teams could be. And, of course, Silver Creek 9-0, Mid-Southern Conference champions, really have finished the year strong and I think take the cake locally as far as big season, regular season accomplishments. Floyd Central not far behind, 7-2, their losses to Columbus East and Cincinnati Elder. So nothing to be ashamed of when your only two losses are to teams of that caliber. But that's kind of what you and I agreed on as we previewed the season months ago. that we thought Silver Creek and Floyd Central would be the best two teams locally, and we thought that both of those teams, when it was all said and done, would probably have the best opportunity of our Clark and Floyd County football playing schools to compete and win a sectional championship and maybe get on a little run in the state tournament, and that's kind of how it's played out.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, I definitely give Floyd Central the better shot in the postseason. Obviously, they're in a four-team sectional, a smaller sectional, and they've got, a little bit easier route, obviously, than Silver Creek does. Silver Creek gets, you know, the fourth or fifth-ranked team coming out in the first-round game. And then if they win, they get another top-five team in Mooresville. So, obviously, they've got a tough road to hoe there. But, you know, it could be an interesting postseason. You know, hopefully it is locally. Hopefully we get a bunch of teams into the sectional championship game. We'll see what happens Friday night. But I don't know. The weather could play a factor too. It might rain on Friday, so that can make things even more interesting.
Josh, with Silver Creek's 9-0 record in the regular season, I had said to myself a couple times, I'm going to have to go look up and see the last local team we had that was undefeated. I thought it was Charlestown, and I believe it was. But you took it a step further. A recent story in the News and Tribune that's available now at the website, newsandtribune.com/sports. You guys took a look at some of the best teams in the 2000s from our Clark and Floyd County area. Charlestown had a couple of those teams, New Albany, Jeffersonville, Clarksville as well. Maybe go through that story. I thought it was very timely, given the success of Silver Creek this year, to go back and look at when the last undefeated team was in the area and some of the other good ones that have had some success. Because, yeah, I'll be quite honest, we have all sorts of teams in basketball, boys and girls, baseball, other sports that year in and year out, they win their sectional. Somebody makes a run to the state finals. We've been blessed in this area to have so many great postseason success stories. Football, I've got to strain a little bit to think about the last great run that we had, and we just haven't had a state champion or a state finalist in so many years. So going back and revisiting some of the great regular seasons that teams in this area have had all the way back to 2000, going back to look at maybe who some of the last sectional and regional champions were in this area in this time frame was very interesting.
Yeah, I thought it would be interesting just to kind of take a look and see, because like you said, I didn't know who were the last undefeated teams or, you know, anything like that. So I had to kind of go back and look and see. And, you know, obviously Charlestown's had a lot of success. That 2012 team must have been something to watch. Holy cow, incredible numbers that they put up. And then I think that regional game, weren't they winning like just really big at halftime, and they Gibson Southern came back and won that game? I think it was something like that. But it was interesting to look back and see. You know, I'd kind of forgotten Clarksville was good there under Gleason. They had a really good year, and then, you know, New Albany was good in the early 2000s, and Jeff had a good season and has had several good seasons, but had a good season with Steve Cooley as the head coach. The thing you mentioned that kind of came to notice in the story was that, you know, didn't have a lot of sectional titles out of that group there. They had put up some impressive regular seasons, but then, you know, kind of weren't able to get a sectional title or a regional title. I remember Clarksville lost in double overtime at Brownstown Central. That had to be a heartbreaker. And then the 2012 Charlestown team, like I already mentioned, lost that shootout with Gibson Southern, you know, in the regional that could have been a regional title for Charlestown there, and maybe more. Who knows if they would have won that game?
Josh, good.
It was just interesting to look back and see. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Josh, I want to, before we close things out here, we got about a minute left. Take us through some other fall sports teams. We're right in the middle of the busy season. Lots of state tournaments going on. We've had some soccer teams do very well. They're headed to semi-states this weekend. We had a Clark County sweep, as Chad Gilbert pointed out earlier this week on the show, in volleyball, that they will all move on, those four teams, to play in sectional or regional volleyball action this weekend, and some other things still in progress as well. It's a very busy time for you and the News and Tribune sports team, and lots of local teams trying to make some movement through the postseason.
Heck yeah, probably the busiest Saturday of the year to this point anyway, that's for sure. We got semi-state cross country Saturday, then we've got two soccer teams playing in the semi-state as well. It's with Providence boys and Silver Creek girls. And then we've got the regional volleyball. We've got Providence and Silver Creek and Henryville and Rock Creek. So it's definitely going to be a day packed full of local high school stuff. So it'll be fun to watch and fun to see how those teams do.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Don't forget you can read about a lot of this coverage, sectional football, other fall sports at newsandtribune.com/sports, and, of course, in the print edition of the News and Tribune. Josh, thanks for the chat. We'll catch up very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Matt. Have a good one.
This segment each week is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They can help if you're looking to raise money for your team or event. Let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does all the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. Find out more about Major League Shirt Company at mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. Thanks to my guests for being with us today, and thanks especially to you, the listener, for joining us as we talk IU basketball and football and, of course, sports from a Southern Indiana perspective each weekday at 11 a.m. Just a reminder, you can get us as a podcast as well. I know a lot of you may be out of the area or can't listen live in the 11 o'clock hour. Enjoy taking in the show that way. Find us on Apple Podcast, also on SoundCloud, and really we're available most places that you might listen to podcast. All you've got to do is search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Click subscribe. Of course, it's free. And if you would, leave us a rating and a review. That wraps it up for today. I'll be back with you tomorrow. This is The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.